Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. This morning I couldn't help but think as he was singing, I believe that was probably a praise to the Lord session there this morning after his long recovery. So good to see you back this morning, brother. If you don't know, he's just recovered from a long stint of a fall off of a ladder. And I don't think there was too many bones he didn't break. As he went down, he was doing his trapeze artistry on top of a ladder, I think, and fell off. And no, it's so good to see you back this morning, brother, and singing. And what a blessing this morning to all of our hearts, I'm sure. If you would take the Word of God with me this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. As always, I am appreciative of the opportunity to preach here. You pray for our pastor as he's away, getting his boys settled there in college for this coming semester. And looking forward to his return here soon. But so thankful to be with you folks here this morning. And thank you for making it a priority to be in the house of the Lord today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading this morning. We'll hone in really on one verse as our theme for the day, but we'll begin our reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I'd like for our time together this morning, if we may, to focus our attention on verse number 19, where the Bible makes this grand statement amidst all the chaos and all the things going on here, as the Apostle Paul writes unto Timothy. He makes the statement in verse number 19, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we know settled in heaven, all is all right in our Father's house. Lord, we thank you that the foundation of God stands sure. We thank you that you are our anchor in time of need, that you are our hope when all seems hopeless, that you are our peace in the midst of each storm. And Lord, we ask this morning as we come before you humbly as your people, Lord, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that you would open our hearts for understanding, Lord, that we may make application from your word to each one of our hearts and lives. Lord, I ask that you would bless in this time. I pray for that one that may be here today that has never placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May today be that day. And Lord, I pray that for each individual, I don't know the needs on hearts here. I don't know, Lord, where each stands in need today, but Lord, you do. And I pray that you would minister to each one individually. I pray that you'd bind me behind the cross of Calvary as I preach this morning. Empty me of self, fill me of you. And Lord, help us today to get each one what they stand in need of from the Word of God. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The foundation of God standeth sure. Our hearts are saddened this morning, as I'm sure yours are, to hear the deaths of many in the country of Afghanistan this morning, especially in this church. Our hearts go out for our service members who passed away in the line of duty protecting our country. I think of my dear friends that are sitting even in this room this morning that are giving their lives in the same fashion each and every day. And our hearts are grieved this morning for families that have received terrible news this week. And as we look across our country and as we look around the world, it seems that at every turn, there's trouble. There's trouble on every side. Whether it be of natural causes, whether it be of man's doing and man's making, it seems we could turn and find trouble at every side if we desired to do so. You can't turn on the news now without hearing some type of negative news all around the world. And this morning, my heart's desire for our church, for Fairfax, is to come this morning united, not only in our shared faith and belief that we are on our way to heaven someday if we've placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but as we are still called of God to live in this world as it stands and as it exists today, and as the turmoil circles around us, I come this morning with an encouragement for each one of us to really bore down in our lives the statement of verse number 19 where the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." And this morning, we can find great security, we can find great comfort in the phraseology of Scripture and the truth that is buried deep within as Paul writes this text, that the foundation of God standeth sure. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation." God has given us this wording of Scripture that it is this word sure that we found, that we find in Scripture this morning, the foundation of God standeth sure, when it looked into the original text, means stiff. That is solid. That is stable. I can never think about the word foundation without thinking of growing up at home. My dad was a contractor and a carpenter, and he always made a big deal about the foundation of every house. And there was great effort that went into it. I remember as a young person, I would travel to job sites with him in the summertime. And we would go to a plot of land that was laid out for a new house to be built. And there was painstaking work taken to make the plot of ground flat and to make it what it needed to be. There was great effort taken in digging the footers. And he knows all the terminology and the measurements. I don't know those. But how deep they have to be and how much concrete has to be in the bottom of each of those footers that are dug to lay the foundation upon. And I remember as a child or as a young person, I remember going to those job sites day after day with him in those initial stages and just be exasperated with, "Oh, again, it's dirt and it's holes and it's concrete. And I just want to see the house built. I just want to see the finished product, if you will. I want to see some progress." And there were days when I would go and I would help him on those job sites. And I remember we would take, and one of the most arduous parts to me was when you would do the staking out of digging everything out. If you've ever been attached to building a house or something, you've seen this. They'll go at every corner of where the house is going to be, and they'll drive a stake in the ground. And they'll take a string and they'll string it out to the other corner and they'll stake another stake and they'll do that all the way around. And then you take a measurement from this corner to that corner and then from the other corner to this corner. And if those line up, then everything's square. You're going to have a perfectly rectangular or square house. Sorry, not rectangular. You're going to have a finished product. But you know, as you're looking at that, it's arduous. It's like, man, I want to see some progress today. What did I do today with my time? All of these different things that we have to do. But you know, as we would go through, my dad would say over and over again, and he would be so particular with the individuals that would work with him through those days of, "Is this square? Is this true? Is this right?" And then the block would come and they would lay the block and everything would be measured again after the block was laid. And is it still square? Is it still true to form? Because as any of us would understand, if our house is built and the foundation is not what it needs to be, it's not going to end up well later on. And I'm sure some of our realtor friends around the room could say they've probably been to a few houses where the foundation was not what it needed to be when it was built, and there's problems that come from that. You know, my question to each one of us this morning is, where is the foundation in your life? Where is the foundation in my life today? You know, as we read 2 Timothy chapter 2, God is speaking to Christians here. God is speaking unto Timothy as he will speak to the church of God. He is speaking to Timothy as he encourages and develops Timothy as a young preacher of the gospel, saying, this is what we are going to face as challenges in our churches. This is what is going to face us. And we'll walk through this passage and see all the things that Paul was facing. But he screams out in the middle of the text to him, but nevertheless, despite what is going on around you, the foundation of God standeth sure. But I think what often happens in our lives as believers is as I was talking with the teenagers in Sunday school this morning, our lives don't always get off of course directly all at one time. I gave them the analogy, if we were driving down the highway in the church bus, and often I'll drive for teen activities, which they love because my driving is superb, and especially when I catch them not paying attention and I give them a little brake check, and they come flying forward a little bit. It's great being a youth pastor on those times. But if we're driving down the highway and we were to do 50 miles an hour, let's say, on the bus down the highway, and all of a sudden I took a hard left turn, I asked the kids, would you notice that? And they said, yeah, we'd notice that. I said, yeah, because the bus would be on its side. We'd all be looking up at the sky and have big problems. And I would be talking to the insurance people and all that about what I was doing while driving the bus. But I said, if you were talking and communicating on the bus, and at 50 miles an hour, I just made a very gradual turn of the wheel, and we just started drifting a little bit. Now, I know what would happen if my wife were in the bus. My arm would get grabbed immediately, and she'd be saying, go, go, go! You're running off the road. That may or may not happen at times in our car on the way to church. I like to look as we drive in and see things along the road, and some of you men can relate to that with me. But I said, would you notice that gradual turn if you're just riding in the bus? Would you notice that as we started to drift? And I think the answer is no, we wouldn't notice it as often. But you know what? If gone unchecked, if gone unchallenged in my life, if that takes place in my life, eventually I'm going to meet the exact same outcome as if I take a hard left turn all at one time. It's going to end up in tragedy. It's going to end up in a struggle in my life. And oftentimes as a believer, our foundation, which is to be rooted and founded in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's to be everything that our life is built upon. We get older and we start getting more responsibilities and we get more trials and we get more struggles in our life. And slowly by slowly we start trusting other things around us more than we trust the foundation upon which our life is built. We start trusting our circumstances or our knowledge or our experience. We trust all of these things. And before we know it, we're looking around. We're saying, God, I don't know how this is going to work. How is everything going to be made right when the world is this crazy? When the world is this out of control? When circumstances are this bad? How are things going to work out in my life? And I believe God puts things like this in the Word of God for such a time as this, for us to go back and draw to, that nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. But this morning, I want to show you just a few things from this passage that can apply to our lives, even where we are today, concerning the foundation of God standing sure in our lives. Number one, if you'd notice with me, we see here, first of all, in our passage of Scripture, that the foundation of God standeth sure despite our position. Look at verse number 11. Actually, let's back up to verse number 10. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And I've got to back up. You've got to have the context there in verse 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Paul says, as he's writing to Timothy, I'm bound, I'm in prison, I'm enslaved. He said, but even though I'm in these straits, he said, the word of God is not bound. The word of God is still able to work and to be effective in the ministry. And then verse 11, he says, it is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
Folks, today, the foundation of God stands assured despite our position, even if that position is proper. You see, what Paul was laying out for Timothy is, even if you follow me, Timothy, or follow Christ and follow my pattern, he said, Timothy, things are not always going to be right in your life. Things are not always going to go smoothly. They're not always going to go well. They're not always going to be a flowery, if you will, around the circumstances of your life, even if you follow me. I think sometimes we get the idea as believers, okay, if I read my Bible today and I pray, then I'm going to go to work and everybody's going to be nice to me today. And then we get to work. And it's like, did you people not read your Bible today? You're not being nice to me. And I thought that was going to happen. We think, I have had this happen. I tell you, when you have kids, it changes everything, doesn't it, parents? Your Christianity goes to a whole different level when you get kids in your house. And you'll read your Bible, you'll pray, and then you'll say, okay, my kids are going to get ready for school with no problem today, okay? They're going to be little angels when they get out of bed. And then immediately, my son will walk in. This has happened. I'm reading my Bible, praying, having a great time with the Lord, and my son will walk in, and he's just, Dad, I don't want to go to school today. And you have the little the things you have to deal with along the way. But I read my Bible today. I'm right with God today. Why are things not going smoothly? And Paul says to Timothy here, it's a faithful thing. I'm going to continue on. Paul says, I'm going to continue on doing what I know is right to do despite of everything else that's going on around me, because he had a vision here. He had a purpose here about his life where he says, I endure all these things for the elect's sake. I endure all these things for individuals that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He was living with a purpose. He was living with, it doesn't matter what my circumstances look like. I've got to reach people for Christ. I'll endure whatever I have to endure so people can hear the gospel. Folks, you know, that's what God is desiring for you and I today as well. That the circumstances are not going to be flowery. As you read through, and we read this through just a few weeks ago, talking about, it's just a chapter away from where we are right now, reading through the perilous times that will come. When you read through that, that's not a flowery list. None of that is good circumstances that have happened in our life. And it becomes real when we see it. We see our kids having to be raised in it. Some of you see grandkids coming along and you say, what kind of world are we leaving for the next generation? But you know what? God told us this was going to happen. God told us this was going to be the trial. And Paul says to Timothy, despite the circumstances around and despite the fact that your position in the Lord Jesus Christ is proper, you're doing the right things, it's not always going to make the difference, but nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So our position, whether it be proper, but also whether it be poor. Look at the end of verse 12. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The word deny there means to contradict. God can't contradict himself. God can't go against what he said he'll go against. And he says, if we deny him, if we contradict God, God's going to contradict us. It has to be in a proper form that we go throughout our Christian life. But he says, Mark chapter 8 verse 38 makes a great statement about this from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I think some of this that gives us great context is when you think about the Apostle Paul and his writings and what he had to write about previous, where he's warning Timothy to watch for people that are teaching other false doctrines. He says, watch for that individual that doesn't hold forth sound words. Watch that individual that doesn't preach the right gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives it great context when he comes into this, because the statement is made so plain. If we contradict what God himself has laid out as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, as our foundation being found in God Almighty, God says, if you contradict that, I'm going to deny you as well. And folks, as we go through this, where is our foundation? Where is our theology, if you will? Is it still holding true to what the Word of God says? Or are we deviating to try to make it more user-friendly? Folks, right now, the hardest thing to do is just preach the truth. To just teach the truth. To speak the truth. Why? We had a discussion in Sunday school this morning for a little bit. It's hard to get teenagers to talk at 9 a.m. I know you teachers probably can relate to that. But we had a little bit of a discussion. A couple of them chimed in. But we talked about truth. And folks, we live in a day and time where it's hard to get people to agree on what's truth. There's no baseline. It's, well, I view it this way, you view it a different way. Okay, that's fine. That's truth. That's truth to you, that's truth to me. And we'll move on. But folks, there is a baseline of truth. And that baseline of truth is God's Word. And despite it being politically correct, we must keep lovingly presenting the truth of the Word of God to individuals as we come into contact with them if we have any hope of turning individuals around from the course they're headed to a course that will eventually lead them to heaven someday. And Paul here writing unto Timothy is exhorting him, is encouraging him. The Lord, his foundation is sure, is secure, whether our position be proper or whether it be poor. It does not change that baseline of truth. It does not change that foundational truth of who God is. It doesn't change that based upon my position. But secondly, not only our position, but the foundation of God standeth sure despite our level of preparation. Our level of preparation. Look at verse 14, if you would. The Bible says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, I believe this level of preparation, and this is a hard thing for preachers to talk about because it's the very thing I'm doing right now. But in verse 14, we see that our level of preparation is provoked by preaching. Folks, I don't understand why God decided, as Scripture says, to choose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. I don't understand that. There's so many better ways in my mind that make logical sense. God, you could have done a way better job of this than not use me to do it. But folks, this is the importance right here of the church, of the meeting house of God's people, because he reminds him here, he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, our pastor, he has many missions, he has many goals here as our pastor in leading this congregation. But our pastor's first and foremost objective is to stand and to present, thus saith the Lord, from the Word of God each and every week. Aren't you thankful for that? And we have a pastor that will preach the Word of God. Folks, in our life, if we're going to be prepared for this battle that we're facing day in and day out, much of that is done is provoked by preaching. God has designed that as individuals, we need constant reminders from the Word of God. I knew that truth. I've heard that truth before, but I need to be reminded of it. I need to hear it again. I need to be exhorted, encouraged, strengthened to do the work of God that God has called us to do. So it's provoked by preaching. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. It's provoked by preaching, but it's perfected by persistent study. In verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word approved there means properly or acceptable, done in the right way, the right fashion. God has orchestrated in my life to finally bring me to this point. I need simple things. I don't know if you're that way, but I need things broken down very simply. But as we go throughout our lives, as God talks about study to show thyself approved unto God, can I help you there? God's not saying you've got to get a doctorate to be right with Almighty God. God's not saying, okay, you got to go to seminary, you got to get training in all of this, you've got to get a doctorate degree and theology for you to be acceptable by Almighty God. That's not the study he's talking about. God's talking about a systematic of you individually working through the Word of God to not only read it, but to understand it. I tell the young people all the time, God will bring you to two steps every time that you're presented with the Word of God. He's going to bring you a truth of Scripture that applies to you, that you need in your life. And the second thing, He's going to give you an opportunity to put it into practice. He's going to give you an opportunity to either choose to obey His Word or to disobey His Word. But at every moment when we open the Word of God or we hear the Word of God preached, if the truth is not clear, if the truth is not understood by us, we need to back up and read it again. We need to go over it again because God says here, study to show thyself approved, not unto each other, but unto God. A workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, God wants to prepare us for what's going to happen this week through not only this time of preaching the word of God, but later on today when you read the word of God. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and you go into your day, God wants to prepare you for what's coming ahead by the study of the Word of God. God wants to prepare you for that battle. But this always is the case as well in this level of preparation. It's perfected by persistent study, but it's protested by the profane. Look at these individuals that we find in Scripture in verse 16. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, wherever something good is going on, somebody's going to fight against it. It's always been the case. Paul faced this time and time again. He wrote to several individuals and would say, this or that person has left me. This or that person has left the work of the ministry. This person has abandoned me. This person is no longer with us. And then he always mentions those faithful saints as well who blessed him along the way. But he says, these individuals here, he said, they have begun to preach that the resurrection is already past, that Christ has already returned, and they seek to overthrow the faith of some. I've always thought when I read that verse, well, what category did that put them in? If the resurrection had already passed, why were they still around to tell people that? It's just the way my mind works as I ran through that passage. But folks, there's always going to be those who speak against the truth, that speak against what is right. Are we not living in that right now? There's all kinds of counter Christianity, counter productive things to the cause of Christ that are presented as truth. They're foundational truths that are taught to our children, foundational truths that are slipped into entertainment and slipped into different things. As I was telling the young people this morning as well, when I was a teenager or a young child, anybody that was presented, it was just beginning on television to be presented of an idea that homosexuality was okay. That it was presented as they just started trying to test the waters in it when I was a teenager. And I told the young people now that they've grown up in a society where it's always been normal. And folks, I'm not speaking ugly to anyone. We're just going back again to that baseline of truth. But you know, if I try to even lovingly present to anyone, this is what the Word of God says, some are going to shun that statement and that reality that is given. And again, I can see it on the faces of everyone in this room. Some of these things, you just mentioned them and everyone goes, oh, he just said that in church. Uh-oh, did they cut the live stream? I hope not. And folks, again, understand our heart. None of these things, I believe it's wrong when Christians present these things and they do it in an ugly way. They do it in a hateful type of thing. But all around us, we have individuals that are going to shun what we are trying to present in a loving way as truth. They're going to shun it. And God says here, prepare for that. Be ready for that. It's going to happen in your life despite your level of preparation, despite what you do. You're going to have the naysayers that don't agree with what you say. He says here, these profane or heathenish or wicked individuals are speaking vain things or empty sounding fruitless discussions about things as they go on. We attempt, even when we have discussions here in our church or in Sunday school classes, we seek to always present truth, because I believe very easily you can get in a forum of discussion and immediately it becomes everybody's opinion and it no longer becomes about truth. God says here in His Word, shun those things. Shun those profane babblings, as He calls it here. But number three, not only do we see here our level of preparation, but we see our source of peace. You see what Paul's walking through here? The different challenges and things that Paul is facing throughout his ministry here. He's in bonds. He's writing to Timothy at a distance when I'm sure he would rather be in his presence. He's dealing with individuals that have denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dealing with individuals who are preaching a false doctrine, a false belief. And he comes in the middle of this and he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." A commentator has said, "The church solidly founded on the work of Christ, the Word of God, and the witness of the Spirit could no more be overthrown by its enemies within than it could be overthrown by its enemies without." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, the foundation of God standeth sure. And he goes on to say in verse 19, "Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." And God says here, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what trials you're facing right now currently where you are, whether it be here in the Fairfax area, whether you work in the Pentagon, whether you work in another government building. And he says, I know things are challenging. I know things are a struggle. But he says the foundation of God is still standing sure. It's the peace. Have you ever been around an individual or you've been around a circumstance and everything in the circumstance or the surrounding was going wrong, but that person never changed in their demeanor? They were the calm in the middle of the storm. They were the peace that was needed. I remember when Evie was, I want to say she was around 3 or 4 years old. We were at our in-law's house in Georgia, and we were eating dinner with them. And there was a dish that my mother-in-law had used to cook with, and she had it something in the integrity of the dish. It was a glass dish. It went bad, the integrity of it, and it actually broke when she was using it. I don't know if it was from the heating to the cooling process of cleaning it, but it broke. A corner of it just shattered right off, and there was a real sharp edge on it. Well, she asked my father-in-law to take it outside, and this all happened in the matter of a few minutes. She sat it by the back door of their house and asked him, when you get done with what you're doing, please take that outside. So he said, "Sure, I'll do that." I was in a different part of the house, and my daughter had, I think it was near her birthday or something like that, she had received this little crown that she could wear because, you know, she's a princess. And so she could wear this crown around, and it played music. So she was doing what any 3-4-year-old little girl does when they're wearing a princess crown. And I think she probably had a tiara on or something like that. And she was dancing around and twirling and just having a great time. And all of a sudden, I hear a shriek from the other room. And she hit her heel on the edge of that Pyrex dish and cut her heel. And it was really deep. It was bleeding really bad. And you saw every different type of reaction in that household. There was 3 or 4 of us in the house, and you saw every different type of reaction that you could have. I mean, I flew through the house faster than I probably ever run, and got to her, which still isn't very fast, but I got to her. My mother-in-law had like both hands on the side of her head, and she was like pacing and like, she was mumbling something, incoherent. You couldn't hear what she was saying. My father-in-law, I don't even know where he was. I don't know if he ever came out or anything. And then to beat it all, this was when my wife was expecting Elliot, and she had just been told that morning she needed to be on bed rest until she had the baby. Okay. This happens the same day. Okay. Cause it always does. So, at this time, we're all kind of like, okay, what do we do? The calmest one of all of us, Marley walks in the room and she's like, "Everybody,
calm down. And she starts just, you know, being the mom and getting the, we put a towel on her heel, and we immediately just took her out, got her in the car and took her to get stitches. But you know, in that situation, you saw everything that was just everybody's reaction. It was just crazy. I'm sure there's times like that when Mr. Bradford sees that happening, when we have things going at school and just everybody's running everywhere and you need somebody to be like, hey, it's going to be okay. You know what? That's what God wants us to be in this world right now. Everything's going crazy. People are more fearful than they've ever been. There's so much uncertainty in the world about what's going to happen next. And when we have the opportunity to be in those situations, then God gives us the peace in our hearts to know, hey, the foundation of God standeth sure. God knows those that are His. All of it is okay. It's all going to work out in the end because we realize that our foundation is still secure. And God says, I want you as a believer to let your faith be derived from that foundation of truth, that foundation in your heart and in your soul, so that that peace will transcend to all of those that are around you, that peace will be a calming, healing balm, if you will, to individuals that stand so much in need of it. But fourthly and lastly, if you'd notice with me, we see here our purity. Our purity as believers, he says at the end of verse 19, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see, the foundation of God standeth sure, but God says here at the end of this verse, don't forget to do regular checkups on yourself. Are you living in such a way that is a pure lifestyle before Almighty God? This doesn't mean, I love the wording of Scripture because God does not paint us a picture here of a perfection, of somebody that he plans for them to never make a mistake, for never to do anything wrong, because look at, he says, depart from iniquity. And he talks about some of these vessels in a house would be some to honor and some to dishonor. But he says, check up on it. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your heart at this time? Are you a vessel unto honor? And again, we must continually go back to the statement and back to the truth. Are we working from that baseline of God being our foundation? That every decision I make, it starts with God. That every decision I make, is this what God wants me to do? Is this a truthful statement? Is this a truthful principle with which my life is based upon? Or is this my knowledge? Is this my experience? Is this my understanding of a matter? Or is this what God would desire for me to do? In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his small airplane from New York City to his family home in Massachusetts for a wedding. On board were his wife, Carolyn, and her sister. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for instrument flight, meaning just using your instruments alone to navigate. When their takeoff was delayed until after dark, Kennedy should have waited for daylight or sought a more experienced pilot to help. But yet, Kennedy took off into the darkness, and the plane never reached its destination, and all three passengers were killed in a horrendous crash. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may have well led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was telling him. All of us face the temptation to walk according to sight instead of faith. Faith in God will keep us from crashing. Human reason will fail us at times, but God never fails. His word keeps us on the right course
as long as we obey it. I'd like you to turn for just a moment as we end this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a passage I believe that correlates so well with the surroundings and the circumstances that Paul is facing later in writing to Timothy. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And folks, as we think this morning upon this idea of the foundation of God standeth sure, where are you looking? In your life, where are you looking? Where's your faith being placed right now? Is it in the security of the stock market? Is it in the security of our borders? Is it in the security of our trust of who's leading our nation? Because it doesn't matter who sits in the White House. It doesn't matter who sits on Capitol Hill. In the grand scheme of things, as God designs it, I am thankful for our men and women who are faithful believers that serve on Capitol Hill, that serve and give a great influence in what goes on there. And I don't mean to diminish their impact and what they are doing for the cause of Christ, even where they are. But where's my faith? Is it in those institutions? Is it in those forms of government? Is it in those circumstances? Or is my faith in that one who never changes? For that one who the Bible says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is it that one who said he has sealed us until the day of redemption? Folks, I'm asking you just to look. I believe one of the great struggles in our life is to see spiritually, not physically. Where the verse of Scripture that we just read in 2 Corinthians talks about the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. And the challenge in our life is, Lord, help me to focus on that which is eternal. That my foundation, that my security would be found in you. Help me to be all of the impact, all of the influence, all of the encouragement that I can as I live in this world and live this life. But Lord, help me to keep my focus on you. My instrument panel to be fully placed on you guiding my life, not me guiding my life. Folks, I didn't come today to discourage you about what's going on and around in the world today. I came today to encourage you that the foundation of God has not moved. It standeth sure even today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that, Lord, through the Word of God, we can know that we have eternal life. And Lord, we can know that we are in the center of your hand, the center of your will. Lord, if we will just simply yield our lives to you, Lord, you've placed us firmly in your care. And Lord, I ask today that you would minister to hearts and needs, not only here, but around the world. Lord, may this hour be the hour that America turns their heart to you. Lord, may we see a great revival of souls, Lord, that are in the midst of this turbulent time in our history and our society, Lord, that their gaze would be cast upon you. Lord, would you help us as your people to be that vessel with which the Word of God is given out to the world? Lord, would you make us mindful of those around us each and every day that stand so desperately in need of the Word of God in their life and, Lord, the truth of the gospel? Lord, would you help us to cast our vision afresh and anew as your people today upon you and anchor our lives firmly and deeply into your will and into your precious Word each and every day? Lord, I ask that you would work in this time of invitation. If there be one here today that is unsettled on where they will spend eternity, Lord, would you prick their heart even now? Would you give them the courage they need to come and just ask someone, I want to know more about how I can spend eternity in heaven someday. And Lord, I pray during this invitation time that as your people, you would bring us to our knees. May we pray for those in leadership. May your hand be upon them. May you bring those individuals that are in our government under the sound of the gospel that they may be saved and lead our country and make wise decisions as we move forward. Lord, we ask for you to have your will and way. Would you work through this time? In Jesus' precious name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you stand with me all over the auditorium this morning? I'm going to ask the pianist to play this morning a verse of invitation. And I don't know how God's dealing in your life, but I do know this. The truth is God always brings us to an area of truth, and he always provides a way of application in our lives. It's how the truth works. It divides. It divides to the very bone, the Bible says, and marrow of who we are. Cuts to the heart of the matter. And I asked this morning, if maybe you're here today and the Lord has placed his finger upon an area of your life, you say, I'm not trusting God in this area as I ought to. Would you come this morning? Would you put that before God? Maybe you need to do that right in your seat. But this altar is open. Would you do business with God today? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you please come? Someone will take a Bible. They won't pressure you in any way, but they'll just clearly show you God's way of salvation to you today. If that's you this morning, as she plays this verse of invitation, would you do business with God?